Ora como estás? Me llamo Carolina José de Maíz. Yo soy de San Francisco State University en 1968 en la huelga para la primera departamento de los estudios de los africanos.
Translation. My name is Nia Carol Horna. I write as Nia Carol Alexander Parks. I had an uncle. I knew him briefly before he died, Gordon Parks Sr. But I'm here as just Nia. In 1968, I was 19 on the campus at San Francisco State. And we, including Danny Glover and many other people, had no idea what we were going to do on November 6th. We took over the campus. My grandmother was very ill at the time, and my mother was in a hospital, so I didn't really take over the campus with me. But in 1968, we students, 600 on a campus of 19,000, which was then San Francisco State College, took over the campus, shut it down for 5 months, and the rest is history. I was there. I didn't know what I was doing. I was this light-skinned black girl from Berkeley who grew up in East Orange. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I had to do something to make this world better. And as a writer who just saw Dr. Jeffries, our nephew, Hakeem Jeffries, when I watched the debate, and listening to Herb Boyd and other people last night at Abyssinian Baptist Church, I don't feel 59. I really don't. I feel like that 19-year-old girl in 1968 who watched Martin Luther King. I don't feel 59. I feel like that 20-year-old mother of mine who got a BA in history, majoring in black history back in 1938. And I'm not 59. I'm still Leonard Jeffries' friend, I hope. And I'm still someone who you've never met before. I don't know your faces. I can't even see them clearly without my glasses, and I don't want to. I want to see that you are all people. We didn't know what we were doing in San Francisco State. And I want to ask you, how can I help you? I'm a writer. I'm a journalist. I don't get paid for it. I belong to Black New Yorkers for Educational Excellence. I belong to Emmanuel Baptist Church. I've written for the Roxbury Community News in Boston. I got a full scholarship to Lesley University. I was forced to leave my last job because I reported a mother to ACS. I don't have money, but I've got a lot of faith that you students, however old you are, tiene fe de Dios que ya estamos siempre con nosotros. En el cielo, que protéjanos con los ancestros de nuestra gente, del pueblo, del mundo. Muchísimas gracias a Dios.
My name is Evan Cleveland. I'm a City College student, and I heard firsthand Williams and then Dr. J touch upon how CUNY's curriculum is aimed towards serving capital after graduation. How does that differ from the SUNY system in private universities?
Well, I think Dr. Jeffries might have been referring to Columbia, but I'm not sure.
Bringing up architecture and
The
direction that it's going.
Well, I mean, speaking very, very specifically, because I teach both in the CUNY system and at NYU, and one of the big obvious differences is in resources. But I think the other difference, and here's where it gets a little bit tricky, is places like Columbia and NYU do not have the type of organic connection to the communities that many CUNY colleges, particularly City College, but not exclusively that, places like Hostos and Medgar Evers and a few others developed, you know, as part of the open admissions movement and after that. So that was the key thing. And I mean, one of the first things I remember Dr. Jeffries saying in class very long ago, that, you know, being hard-headed, it took me a long time to understand, is he said, much of what I will teach you in the classroom will be important. But there's a second piece of it that you need to go down to 125th Street to get, because you're not going to get in here. And simply, what that meant is that theoretically you can understand things, and there are many things that you are now able to learn in City College because it had been liberated in a process that places like Columbia and NYU had never gone through, or at least pieces of the City University had been liberated. But the other piece of it, you needed to get from people in the community, like the sister Nia Carroll, who just came up and spoke, and many of the other elders in the community who were, for various reasons, not inside the university system. So I think what I'm saying is the key is, wherever you are, beginning to have that type of understanding, and understanding that to a large extent you've been negatively socialized by society, and a successful educational process is partly learning what you're going to in the classroom, but beginning to go through that process of re-socializing or positively socializing yourself by unlearning many of the things that have been ingrained to you, such as homophobia, sexism, racism, and white supremacy. And people like Dr. Jeffries and myself and Mark Torres and other people now working in the system can start in that process. But my answer is, you know, wherever you are, you're essentially talking about systems that are meant, you know, to socialize you into a society that is inherently pathological. And the only way you're going to be able to break that is by connecting with other elders and people in the community who understand that, and connecting with people on campus who have that type of orientation themselves.
We want to thank all of you who have made a contribution and want to continue to make it. Don't hesitate, don't be intimidated, express yourself. I use that parallel of Tale of Two Cities earlier to reference the two hills where Columbia is. You go to Columbia for an elite education. At City College, you go for an education. The important thing about City College, though, it has a tradition of revolution. A tradition of revolution. And that has spread throughout the city university system in an important way. So you go, I had talked about this buddy of mine, Dr. Ray Nobles, who talked about shattered consciousness and fractured identities. You go to get that consciousness together so you can see similar people like yourself that are struggling to make a way. You go to get that identity. So you can't have, in the Latino community, the Puerto Ricans looking sideways at the Dominicanos, and the Dominicanos looking sideways at the Cubanos. If in the Latino community there is this shattered consciousness and fractured identity, how can we produce the unity that we need? If we unify these growing populations, the Latino population and the African population, we are the way and the foundation of the future. But we have to see that. We have to understand that. City University is a place where these youngsters can be trained and prepared. You are born winners, but you're programmed for failure. And we have to see the larger process that we have to be about. There are two systems in New York State. Not just the private system. Now we got a tale of two systems. The private system and the public system. The public system of higher education is wrapped around CUNY and SUNY. We can talk about the differences. But the two systems of education I'm talking about, and processing and acculturation that I'm talking about, are the public system, CUNY and SUNY, and the prison system. And as many dozens of universities as you have upstate New York, you've got prisons to match them. And you need to understand this process where black and brown youngsters are being prepared to be pushed out of the school system onto the streets, into the stuff that will get them into trouble, and the pathway, the pipeline, the superhighway, the prison is right there. You can name the schools, the communities where this flow is coming, where this flow is coming from, filling up the prisons. And so we need to have a broad analysis of the university system, but we need to parallel it with the prison system, because these brothers and sisters are going to come back out, and they've got to be prepared to be a part of a community of struggle for what we back out as our blueprint for people's power.
Dr. Jeffries just said, and ACS and the foster care system is one of the main producers of children that are pushed through the prison system, the homeless system, and on the streets. Dr. Jeffries just said, this is what's happening to our black and brown children. After ACS, our children have nowhere to go. Most of these children age out of foster care, and they age out into the prison system, onto the streets, and into the mental institutions. People need to know what they're doing when they call ACS on a mother because she cannot feed her child. People need to know what they're doing when they call ACS because somebody cannot pay their bill. People need to know when they call ACS what they're doing when a mother spanks a child, chastises a child. People need to know the destruction that they're starting when somebody calls ACS on innocent parents and on innocent children. You just destroyed another child's life. You just got another child drugged. You just got another child raped. You just got another child murdered. ACS and the foster care system is not what you think it is. They're there to protect children. That's what they tell you. That's what they tell the public. But you need to know what they're creating our children for.
I'm Queen Mother Dr. Delaney's Blakely, and I'm so honored to be here that you are having this discussion within the community. I'm the community mayor of Harlem, and I live around the corner for the last 30 years taking an abandoned building and making it a reality. And as I'm listening to you, which you are the leaders of the community, I'm an elder now, and the legacy has to be passed on to you. Talking about it is not going to make it happen. You got to do something, and you got to do it now. Now, I've gone through that exercise that most of you are going through now or will continue to go through. You mentioned City College, which that means that most of you may be coming from City College or from public school system. And if that's so, City College, we the people, we the neighborhood, created the Peace University of City College, where the children walk from 145th Street, Riverbank Park, to the United Nations to make that a reality. So when you're talking about issues of the street, the young people have made that a reality by walking one morning and tied some ribbons at City College outside in the yard about 7:30 in the morning. So they walked from 5 in the morning to about 12 noon to get to the United Nations, making a statement about street crime. It may start in the house, but it ends up in the street, so it ends up in the community. So the young people walked, the children walked from Harlem to the United Nations. Now, when you mention, I think, another school which is considered an elitist school, it's a down the hill, or we would say coming up the hill to 145th Street, where you at 143rd Street, Amsterdam Avenue, called Columbia University. I went to Columbia University, not the norm. Even a woman looking like me, coming from the neighborhood and dressed like me, to go to Columbia University. But I received my doctorate. But after receiving my doctorate from Columbia University, I wanted to engage as many degrees that I can get, looking the way I look. See, I have to have like 25 degrees, not one. For most of you that may not look like me, to achieve what I must achieve within the community. At one point, they thought they could use me because of a doctorate to come in and do rap research on black and brown children of this community. Now that's real. And I said, heavens no, you got the wrong mama. And saying that, I was pushed out before I received another degree, because I believe in a lot of degrees, I just told you that. And I was going after a master's in social work. Now we can walk over the community at 116th Street to get to the School of Social Work, the people in need. We can walk over them now to get to our classes, but we couldn't service the various community that service Columbia University. They money come from a man that's ways and means called Congressman Charles Rangel. It's the same dollars that we get on 143rd Street where you are sitting. It's the same dollars that they need for Columbia University. Yes, I went outside of this community to get an education too, because I want to be in the know. As I said, the way I look, I definitely want to be in the know. So I went to MIT, and I went to Harvard, and I became a Fulbright scholar. And I lived throughout Africa for the last almost 50 years. I still go to Africa, and I challenge all of you. If you're really serious, Nana Jeffries, if I could handle a few of them, because I'm in the neighborhood around the corner, but you took an abandoned building and change it around and say, first of all, anybody here who happens to be have legal skills and you want to take that to social action like tomorrow morning. We have one lawsuit in the state supreme for miseducating black and brown children at Martin Luther King High School near Lincoln Center downtown where Mike Bloomberg lives. We sued without a law degree for $100 million against the city of New York. And we sued the corporation counsel of Mike Bloomberg, which is Michael Cardoza. Okay? That case is still rallying. Now there's another issue that we have on the table right now that we ask for your support. If you're serious about your social activism in this room tonight, join us. We have predatory lending, mortgage fraud that you heard about. We have another lawsuit for $10 million and another court, which is the New York State Supreme. Any of you interested in housing, affordable, and all that good language, we need you now to join us in that revolutionary fight to save some handicapped and some senior citizens in their home. And we can go on and give you a laundry list about how to become active, and you can do that through your extracurricular activities that you get credit for, you know, certain credits you can get for certain part of your courses that you take. Use that to reinforce your activeness in the community right now. We need you now. We don't need you after you finish your 4 years and go off somewhere else, and the next time I see you, you may be in the corporate structure, but you don't have time to do the revolutionary thing like you're doing now. Because a lot of my colleagues that we was revolutionary together, they have moved on. They either the Secretary of State or the Secretary of something, or they're trying to be the Prime Minister. In some countries, they're not even the presidents and vice presidents of that was in the revolutionary struggle. And it's okay that you become decision makers of a society in terms of leadership. But I ask that you do something right now so that means you're not rusty and dusty in the community where you're getting your education, where you will continue to get your education right here at City College. We need you right here, right now. If you really, really want to become an activist in your socialist movement, and if you do, sign up. I'll give you my email, and I can mobilize and organize for us to do some internships. Some internships, and we can do that from Harlem straight to the United Nations. I don't care what part of the world you come from. Whatever ancestors you're talking about, I can help you get back to your ancestors, okay? And whatever needs to be done in that society where you come from, where your ancestors are at, we can help you reconnect to that. And so in that way, you are forcing your leadership and making decisions before you get any degree, because this is the real education, is working amongst your people, and they need your skills right now. And I thank you for allowing me to speak as an American. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nate Larson, and I got up to speak about what Mr. Messenger was saying about ACS. I have three kids that is in the ACS, and they took my kids because they said I was neglecting them. Then turned around when they got in ACS, my 14-year-old child was sexually assaulted. They tried to keep that underground where they did not want me to know, but I found out on a visit because my 14-year-old told me. Took a lot of things for them to basically to call the cops and make a report. They said no one was responsible for it because it didn't happen on group home grounds. I have a 7-year-old special needed child with ADHD who's also in the system, who's there with my 3-year-old who's speech delayed. They put him in a Spanish-speaking home where basically it does not help my speech delayed child. And also they put him in a home where it's an autistic child that does do some type of acting out and ends up hurting my 3-year-old. Every time I go to a visit, she has a busted hip. They got some legal excuse why it happens, because they said kids play with each other or whatever the case may be. But her situation can endanger my kids, but yet they tell me I'm neglecting them. To turn around all this other stuff, my child was taking orphan medicine. When they put him back in the system, they put him back on. Because all the problems they give him, telling him that his mother is bad, and if he be good, he could go home, and if he's not good, he could go to another foster home. Basically, they're just destroying my children. And I'm here to basically get some help on who to speak to, who to talk to about how to get my kids out, because I'm basically complying with everything they told me to do, but it's not good enough. Every time we go to court, it's another issue about why they're going to give my kids or what do I have to do to get them. And it's just crazy, and I'm just here just to basically share that story with you because I'm going through this myself.
It's great to be in another social forum. I went to Caracas, I was at the U.S. Social Forum, and I just got back from Foro Social Mundial sobre Migración in Madrid. And it was all about issues of protecting the rights of workers moving around, of environmental refugees and people escaping from wars and just looking for places to live. So a social forum is a tremendous format of open dialogue and building organizational capacity, which Conrad was talking about, and also building relationships. I have a master's degree from City College, 1971, my last year. We shut down the campus when we heard about the bombing of Cambodia. It was a 2-day occupation. I told my parents, we told them I didn't know if I was going to end up in jail, but I wasn't going to leave the campus. And our actions have to be immediate. There's a lot of work to be done. But I will say one thing from the perspective of an elder. The relationship is sobre todo. We have to care for each other, be careful with each other, make a commitment to each other over time, because the fragmentation is tremendous. This one knows better, this one has an ideology that's more pure, another one knows the way because they know what happened in the Hatter strike in 1929. So the teachers who, and I was a high school teacher for 30 years, so I know a lot about organizational abuse and what it is to work in a dysfunctional institution whose goals are contradictory to my goals for my students. So, and we have some comrades here who went through that together. And the building of the organizational capacity, from my perspective, will depend on the care, listening to each other, really deciding that the relationships over age, over the barriers of language, over the barriers of culture and assumptions and ideology, of really listening to each other in a participatory way. There are no experts. We all can share our experiences with you, but you, even if you're 15 years old and can't read, have a right to the same amount of time as a professor who's 60 years old and has two master's degrees. Why? Because it's together. It's only with that unity of reaching over those things. So all these days, I won't be able to be here, but my best advice is speak whenever you have an opportunity, but really from the depths, from the deepest, most honest position you can come from. You know, really go deeper into yourself and into your community and into your experience to bring these things so that together the movement gets built among the elders and with the young people and with the different cultures that we all represent, because we have to save the planet, we have to save our university system, each other and ourselves.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mark Rodriguez, and I am a graduate from LaGuardia Community College back in 1986. One of my mentors back then was a Professor Manuel Otero of Puerto Rican Studies, who opened my eyes. I was a New York City Puerto Rican kid from the Bronx, who didn't know my heritage back then. He always kept telling me, how do you know where you're going if you don't know where you're coming from? And that's one thing that I urge people, now that I'm 45, and I'm inspired by this because you've lit the fire again. I'm here to reply to you and to Vanessa James. I met you last year at Children's Rights Council. I know the struggle that's going on with our families, especially with minorities. The establishment here, basically, is the haves wanting to keep the have-nots having a knot, and that's a reality. I'm a victim of the family court system of New York. My daughter, who I had custody of, was taken away from me back in 2004 because I stood up before the Bronx Family Court judge, and I got into an argument, I got into a brawl, and I was arrested and incarcerated. My daughter was taken away from me. I fought the system, I lost. Why? Because we live in a system where, especially with family court issues, the system pits parents against each other. That's the game that is being played. And why? Because the overall picture is that, as you said, they want to keep us down. And as a political activist that I've been already involved for over 5 years with the struggle, along with Rolando Bini, a good friend of mine, Bo Harris from America's Children, all these other organizations that have been affiliated regarding the family, we have to unite and promote family within our culture, within our people. Because if we don't, one thing I realized as I got older, it's like Mother Blakely said, you become part of the establishment. You become content. You can't. You can't, because sooner or later, you're going to get a kick in the butt. And that's what happened to me. And that's why to this day, I'm here now, and I encourage you, struggle. It's not easy. I've been incarcerated. I've gone to jail. I've been arrested. But I urge you, if you truly believe in your cause, whatever it may be, fight for it. It's a sacrifice, but it's worth it. Because if you believe in your children, the children are the future. You are the future. You have to struggle. You have to unite. And that's why here, I encourage your support. As you said, we're looking for solutions, yes. I started my political life recently. I tried to run for assembly in the 83rd district in the Bronx. I needed 1,500 signatures to become an independent on the ballot. I missed by 400 signatures. But that doesn't matter. I'm still fighting. I'm still going to the politicians. I'm still going to the, you know, to the rallies and meetings. But the important thing is that all of us, we have to unite, as the panelist said, and stand up for what you believe in. One of the things that I get a kick out is I ride the trains, and the city, I guess, put an ad that they want CSC or ACS workers. They're looking to recruit, and I get a kick out of it, because one of the things that I do, and I want to leave you with this one thought, is that I take from my briefcase this piece of paper that I basically put right above their sign, and it reads, "Those that accept the crumbs of life will always go hungry. Therefore, fight for your rights and be satisfied." Don't be content with the crumbs, ladies and gentlemen. Fight for your rights, because it's ours for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a lot more today. My name is Lamont. I'm the president of Black Legacy. We basically function as the Black Student Union at Lehman College. I actually get Lehman College in the Bronx. I'll tell you. Oh yeah? Holla at me, you know. Definitely. And I actually have a question for the panel, but really quick, I want to, if it's not too much, promote for a show that we have. This is for a good cause. We're raising money for the Malcolm X grassroots movement and also the Grand Jury Resistance Campaign. Which is basically the situation with people in the Puerto Rican community being prosecuted by the FBI for associations and alleged associations with the Puerto Rican independence movement, Majorcados and whatnot. So we're raising money for the defense campaign, as well as the Malcolm X grassroots movement, the People's Self-Defense Campaign. The name of the show is Blackout 2. Last year we raised money for the June 6th, you know. As it turns out now, it's starting to feel like, you know, for better or for worse with the latest developments, but you know, we try to keep these shows around a good cause. We have Styles P coming, Rebel Diaz, Hassan Salam, Spirit Child is going to be hosting, so it's going to be a really good event. So the show's on November 6th, which is a Thursday, at 6 o'clock at Lehman College. Brother, you're looking like you can't make it. You put your head down. Y'all should have been at our show. It's all good, though. So if you can make it. But my question is around, you know, organizing for political power, you know, on the college scene, but also how we can find ways to tie our struggles on campus to the struggles in our communities, you know. And one project that we're working on right now with my organization is pushing for the development of a minor in urban community development, which would basically supplement whatever your major is, whether you study political science, economics, but you're learning that major in the context of how you can come back and develop and organize your community for community control. So you're learning politics in the context of how you can gain political power for the people in the community. So that's one of the projects that we're working on. But I also want to know if you have any suggestions for any other ways that we can organize on campus to turn our institution into an institution that truly represents the interests of our community, as opposed to, as Dr. Jeffries was saying before, the interests of, you know, capitalist, you know, American society and socialist, this global economy. So I wanted to know if you guys have any input on that.
When I was speaking earlier, we talked about educate, agitate, organize, and we talked about understanding that we have the power to make the fundamental change.
Now, I remember when I was in the Seventh-day Adventist church, and we would go to church every Saturday, and we would go to church on Wednesdays and do our Bible study. There were two very practical components to what we did in the church. One was that we did our study, and on a political level, you would call that political education. You read, and I don't know if we would be able to finish this book in a short time, but we would get excerpts from this book definitely. Political education is important because you have to know where you're coming from in order to know where you're going. And the other piece is that every day you show that you have power. In the church, every day we show that we love Christ, right? By trying to be good Christians and acting that way. So in a political sense, every day you have to show you have power. Now, on a student level, that looks like engaging students, doing the petition drive, doing the showing videos where students meet about things that teach them about struggle, doing the rallies, doing the demonstrations, organizing in your groups to take particular actions, whatever you feel is appropriate. But also, there are three groups that I know here, Black New Yorkers for Educational Excellence, and as a representative from the Federación de Maestros de Puerto Rico Support Committee, and the Hostels Educators Association that I'm in. And what we do is we're teachers, and we work in the Department of Miseducation. And so every day, we're fighting the system. And sometimes it takes on overt actions, like in the case of the teachers in Puerto Rico who went off on strike, right? And other times it takes teaching young people how to resist the system. For example, at my school, it's a uniform school. And the students got an idea from Frederick Douglass Academy in Manhattan that you should wear black on a particular day. Now, the first day the students tried it, it was a few students, so they were sent home. They were punished. But with the help of staff at the school, we started to wear black, okay? And so the students saw that, and it got to the point where 90% of the students were wearing black in support of Sean Bell and what was going on with the Sean Bell case. And they were so powerful just from this type of action that then the school took on the decision to have discussions and meetings and to talk about the Sean Bell case. So what we're talking about is resisting every day. And sometimes you can't resist a lot, but you're resisting. You know, like when I was at the union and I was working in the hospital system, one of the union organizers said, listen, if these supervisors really start getting on your case for this paperwork, and we knew that this paperwork was meaningless, it was just a way of them oppressing us, it wasn't going to help the patients, what you do is you cross every T and you dot every I. So every day we build a movement by resisting. Now, the social forum is a perfect forum for galvanizing that, for creating an organizing network, for having a coordinating committee that can bring all these groups together to take collective action. Because we're going to resist every day on our local spot, but then we have to be able to bring everybody together to show how powerful we really are, to shake up the system, to make them pee on themselves when they see us, right? And the way to do that is we have to first start resisting every day and then coming together. I'm hoping that in the Sunday assemblies, we can come up with concrete proposals on how to network and how to coordinate all our individual efforts. Because if we keep hitting the system with the individual efforts, it's not going to be as powerful as if we hit them with one powerful fist.
Something that I've learned through organizing that's, I think that's very, very important, is to have the ability to recognize each person's individual talent. You know, because I think sometimes when you're like a young activist, you're coming into organizing, you know, like there's a standard, like if you don't go to so many meetings, you don't do so many things, you're not an activist. Or activism is this, you know. I think we all have different talents and we all bring something different. You know, so it's very important to be, as a leader, to be a facilitator and to develop that leadership and to encourage all forms of resistance. I'm also part of arts collective that uses, you know, art for political action. It's called Alina Imagination. And for me, that was such a great breakthrough when I realized that I could use my art and my creativity to resist. And I want to invite all of you. We have a performance coming in November 22nd, 23rd. We're bringing it to the Bright Forum. 2 days, we're bringing it to Hunter and bringing it to Boricua. So that's something very important because I think sometimes there's this divide between art and organizing, like the two can't go together. And I think it can be a great way to mobilize and to bring up revolution, you know, to use our creativity to address these issues. What we did is that we collected real stories about war, how the Iraq war affects people here and affects people in Iraq. And we put that together. It's a performance of songs, monologues, and poems, and we're bringing it to our different communities. And that's what we all need to do with, you know, like, whether that be with theater, photography, writing, like, we all bring something very different, and we all need to appreciate and not be like, you know, you're doing more, you're doing less, you know, encourage that. Because for me, the best antithesis to destruction, to oppression, is creativity, is to reclaim our imagination, our spirituality, to remake those connections. So that happens at many different levels. That happens speaking with mothers, reconnecting with our families, speaking to students. So just be aware of, like, the multi-dimensions of organizing. Thank you.
Find out. Thank you.